Blog Talk Radio.
Get ready to come into the zone for the next 60 minutes.
Your journey will begin in 3, 2, 1.
The Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Your watchman on the wall. Wall.
Bringing you into the knowledge only found as you pursue the truth.
So set back and enter the zone of Bible prophecy and find the hope that every Christian should have.
Find out what is going to happen in the year 2012 and beyond. The Middle East, the mark of the beast, the European superstate, Russia, China, Syria, and more. So sit back and grab your cup of coffee and your Bible,
and be prepared to enter the zone.
The Prophecy Zone.
Special guest for you today, James Sundquist, and we are going to be talking about the Antichrist, the nation of Israel, the war that will be fought against Israel, and we will also be talking about the Muslim Jesus versus the Christian Jesus. So we'll be bringing our guest on in a few minutes. I just wanted to let you know that we do have a website, and our website is propheticnews.com. We also have a YouTube channel, and our YouTube channel is Jonah, T for Tom 48, and there's some very interesting videos there for you. We also will be playing our program on Monday evening on the Prophecy Zone Network. So if you want to check that out, that's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be coming to you live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the last few weeks we did have some technical problems, so hopefully we're going to get that all straightened out so that we can continue to bring you these great broadcasts. So I just want to mention to you today, I want to make it a point to try to mention it every week so that we can get the word out about the vaccinations. And many people don't know this. I know they don't know it because I don't hear enough people talking about it. I think it's one of the biggest travesties of our day is the fact that most childhood vaccines that are given to babies, and even some that are given to adults, have aborted babies as one of the ingredients. So I think that you need to know that. You need to tell your friends. You need to not vaccinate your child with a product that contains an aborted baby. We wonder why there's so much autism. It's a plague of autism, brain damage, and it's no wonder because of the ingredients that are contained in a vaccination. There are alternatives, but make sure that when you get a vaccination or for yourself or your child, that you ask to see the ingredient list. And if it says human diploid cell lines, then you know that it came from an aborted baby, and you certainly don't want to inject yourself or your child with such an ingredient. Also, you can go to my website, propheticnews.com. I have a link to a list of vaccinations and the ingredients they contain. Also, if you do a search, vaccines from abortion, you can find that information. It's readily available. I wonder why it's not talked about. It's a dirty little secret, but I'm trying to do my part to get the secret out. So we'll be bringing our guest on now, our guest, James Sundquist. Also, I want to let you know that this is a live call-in show today. If you'd like to call in, the number is 914-338-1638, and we also have a chat room that's open, and I will be checking the chat room during the program. So I'm bringing my guest on again. Hi, James.
Well, hello, Susan. Great to be back with you again. Are we going to have a Circus Maximus Saturday Night Live comedy this week?
That's about what it was, I'm telling you. That's about what it was. Oh, dear.
Skype isn't out to get you. At some point, it worked very nicely in terms of sound, didn't you think, at least?
Oh, I thought that we sounded great, but when I went to listen back to it, you couldn't hear you at all.
Oh, that's too bad.
I don't know how that happened.
And your friend that called in, he was frustrated too. Did he ever come back?
Yeah, he came back and finished the program. But when we were talking to each other, it sounded beautiful. The sound was so perfect. And then he was telling me that he couldn't hear you, so then when I went back after and listened, no, you couldn't hear you. And so I will have to iron out, I'll have to get somebody to do some tests with me with the Skype, so we see if we can get it right, because I thought, wow, it just sounds so clear and beautiful, but it didn't turn out that way, the end product. But anyway, I didn't have any problems getting on today. I didn't have any problems getting you on, so it looks like it's good going here.
That's great. I thought I was supposed to call it 5 after, maybe earlier, but I just happened to catch your discussion about abortion and inoculations or something.
Yeah.
If you just give me a brief sentence or two, because I think I have something for you to tell you. That isn't what you wanted to talk about today, but I thought we could do
it. Yeah, we can talk about it. I feel very strongly about this subject, and I wanted to make sure that I mentioned it in every broadcast. In a few broadcasts, I missed talking about it, but one of the ingredients in vaccinations, it's in almost all of the childhood vaccinations, there's very few that don't contain the aborted baby cell line. On the packaging it says human diploid cell line. So they did it in the 60s. They took some cells from an aborted baby and they use it in most of the vaccinations, even some of the flu vaccines. It's a dirty little secret that isn't out there. But when I tried to get the information out, I called the 700 Club, I called TBN, I called Rod Parsley. I don't know how many times I called Rod Parsley and sent him letters and talked to his school principal. And these people all claim to be pro-life, John Hagee, Daystar Network. They make a big deal about pro-life, but yet not one of them would talk about this. And I found it shocking.
Wow. Well, you have probably done a few shows on the subject of abortion, haven't you, Susan?
I haven't done. I haven't done. I don't think I've done any shows on the total subject of abortion. I need to, but I wanted to do a program. I was trying to bring on. I had emailed a man. I think his name is Olmsted. I don't know if it's Daniel Olmsted, but he actually did a study of the Amish people. And they do not vaccinate their children, and there was no autism found, according to his study. Yes, no autism found in never vaccinated Amish children. So, and there are some scientific studies out there that have been done linking autism and ADHD to the vaccines. You can see that there's been a steady climb in this brain damage in children. Since probably if people cared to do the research to see the charts, when they first made abortion illegal and they started using these human diploid cell lines.
There's a lot of it attributed to the change in nutrition and the fact that the children are eating the steroids that are fed to animals. You know,
yeah.
Steroids for athletic reasons, sometimes illegally. But they forget that the kind of thing that's being fed to animals that we eat later.
That's true. I mean, a lot of it has, of course, they're not going to link it. They're not going to tell you the truth. I called Sean Hannity. I called Bill O'Reilly. I wrote to Anderson Cooper because they did a, they were trying to really make this English doctor, a villain. He had done a study himself about the MMR vaccine damaging children and causing autism. So it was his finding, and then I guess the vaccine manufacturers were upset, so they took away his license to practice medicine. I think they basically tried to kick him out of the UK. And then a few months ago, they did a big thing about him on all the big channels, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. And they were all bad-mouthing him and trying to say that his claims were foolishness and there was nothing damaging about vaccinations. Well, they tell you about the mercury and they tell you about the aluminum, but I have never heard one news commentator or ministry in this country ever tell people what is really in a vaccine. There's an aborted baby in a vaccine, and you're injecting your child with this thing, and then you wonder why your child goes crazy, why it has brain damage. We're not supposed to be injecting human beings with dead people.
let us not even get into the effects of psychotropic drugs that are given to everyone from people that suffering, they're really morally suffering there because they're convicted, but nevertheless they perceive that they're suffering from having had an abortion, and so they go and they get these diagnoses that then lead to medication of some form of psychotropic drug to help them with their stress management after what they did. But we don't even know the impact and the the long-term impact of psychotropic drugs, let alone what it's going to pass on to your children if you took them.
Sure.
I see this firsthand from friends and relatives that were given psychotropic drugs. One tried to, and this is well documented. If you go to ADHD fraud, they have all the documentation on all the attempted suicides of people taking psychotropic drugs. And And I know firsthand that a relative that tried to take his life after he started taking them, and these drugs also can turn you into a zombie. Growth of little children, babies, or when they start giving them, you know, when you're growing up, there's a train load of problems to go on and on. But on the pro-life and the abortion question, it's going to become an increasingly political, if not prophetic, issue as the election comes about, because of with Obama being able to, were he to, even before his term expires, were he to nominate another Supreme Court justice, and if he gets another term, it could be another term of office, he could appoint even more to put the right to life back, set it back maybe forever until the Lord returns. So
oh,
it's
sure.
another major issue.
It's a major issue, but I found that it's even a political issue in the church, because I couldn't believe that Rod Parsley's son, I mean, I'm not endorsing Rod Parsley's ministry, but I thought, well, he's got a program where he could talk about these kind of things, and he gets more listeners than I do. So his son actually did get a form of autism when he was about two, so he knows firsthand the devastation. And I couldn't believe that after calling, of course you can't ever talk to Rod, so I called his school principal. I saw a man that was on his TV program, and I called the man that was on his TV program and said, could you please give this information to Rod, because I was emailing him, I sent him packages, priority mail. I thought if anybody should be talking about it, it should be him, but he never mentioned it one time.
Now,
which 700
vaccinations are you alarmed about that have the I guess it's the stem cells from infants they stick in there? Is that what they use?
Yeah, they're using the cells from aborted babies into the vaccines. And it's most of them. It's almost every single one. Now, there's not even one chickenpox vaccine that doesn't have it. It's
wow.
a shingles vaccine. There's a flu vaccine that has it. There's... I think the MMR itself, and that was the one that the doctor from England was especially concerned about. Of course, he never talked about the fact that they were using fetal cell lines in the vaccines. But he did say there was a link to autism in vaccines. So they basically disgraced him. And like I said, they took away his medical license. And then they did this massive propaganda campaign a couple months ago about, well, there is no link to autism and vaccinations, but there definitely is. And so I try to mention it. I'm going to try to do it every program to mention it, and I will be doing some programs about it. But I wanted to bring on, especially this man, Daniel Olmsted, that did the study about no autism found in Amish children. Because they were never vaccinated.
That would be a really good show. I'm hoping on another front that you'll have Marcia West. She has been writing, and I've corresponded with her. It's on a slightly different topic, but didn't want to forget to tell you at least.
Okay.
And she has a publication called the EM Brigade, and I can connect you with her. Just a little sidebar, Susan.
Okay.
Back to the pro-life abortion question. I was just finishing a color slideshow that has a song on it that was written to publish a book by to help promote a book by John Anderson. He was a pastor for 25 or 30 years, and he's traveled around the world, and it's one of his themes. And she, I produced the song that she sang from the poem that was written by a lady in New Zealand, and the poem is called Cry of the Children. And I just, my wife is still proofing this, and we're going to soon post it on our site as well as on YouTube, but I thought I could read the slides to you, if you're okay, to get a little preview.
Yeah.
I'll just click them through one at a time. Cry of the Children, a song of appeal from a billion voice choir, which includes 46 million male and female unborn aborted babies worldwide per year, 1.37 million unborn aborted babies in the United States per year, who will never have a birth certificate, and the letters addressed to, and the song to President Barack Obama, who does have a birth certificate, or does he?
Maybe.
And
I don't think he's got one. We haven't seen it. I don't know why you want to hide your birth certificate if you have one. That I don't understand.
And it's also to Planned Parenthood, Obama's partner, to members of Congress, Obama's partner, to the United Nations, to physicians, hospitals, clinics who perform abortions, pharmaceutical companies, eugenicists, selective breeders, population controllers, and all people who promote and fund them, and all people who participate in an abortion, and everyone who believes in equal rights for women, and everyone who believes in equal rights for unborn women. And then there's a slide of an ultrasound picture of a 12-week-old fetus, and we have a slide of an abortion, and it's a relief that's done by depicting a demon inducing an abortion by pounding it the abdomen with a pestle, you know, like with a mortar and pestle.
Yeah.
And the poem is written, I'm reading the poem, but it's actually a song, and you'll hear the song when it's posted, by Teresa Goodwin. A cry has gone out to the sons of men, a cry from the throne of God. What have you done with my little ones? Where have they gone? I hear the cry of the child, the cry of a million children. I created the beauty on their faces, now all I see is pain. I created the beauty on their faces, and all I see is pain. Come up here, you men and women. What is on your hands? The color of crimson. You spread death throughout the land. You have taken the right to live. Do you realize what you have done? Many a child of blessing has never seen the sun. Yes, they will live with me. They will live forevermore. And before you they shall stand on the day of judgment to condemn you, sinful man. So arise, you who would repent of this sin, and I'll forgive you, and I will turn aside, and you will turn aside, for the cry of the children has come to my ears, and my face from them I will not hide. And then I quote Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah 1:5. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Psalm 139:13. And then I quote the Apostle John, if anyone has material possessions and sees his or her brother or unborn brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in him? John 1, 3:17, and I inserted the parentheses to refer to the unborn. And I have a link to my article, Barack Obama, High Priest of Molech and Darwin. And I have the documentation to prove that this is how many abortions, but I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, Susan, that there's at least been a billion.
Yeah.
Isn't that staggering?
Yeah, that's staggering.
That's basically about the population of India, or I can't remember, but it's India's right up there.
Yeah.
Entirely vaporized.
Well, it has a lot to do with the whole Antichrist system. And it's a matter for the church really to get the word out and to change people's hearts, because once you have a heart change and become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and give your life to Jesus, then you wouldn't be doing these things. You would see when God takes the blinders off, then you see. But the Bible says in 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And James, last week when we were talking, and I thought one of the things that you mentioned that was so interesting was that during World War II, during the Holocaust, that actually Hitler was in cahoots with a Muslim leader to help exterminate the Jews. Would you go into that a little bit?
That is absolutely correct. The Muslim leader was the Mufti, the Grand Mufti of Damascus in Syria, and you can go on Google and you can search and see, anybody can find the photos with the pictures with him sitting with Hitler and other Nazi leaders. And his job basically was to carry out the final solution for the Jews, but basically in throughout the Balkans and the Mideast. And so that was his role. And even today, a well-known, respected Islamic leader has been preaching and shouting. I heard this on the news, and getting these millions of followers that he has, that we need to complete the job that Hitler began.
Really?
And he really should have added what the High Grand Mufti of Jerusalem had already been doing.
So was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem during World War II.
I mean, a Grand Mufti of Damascus, not Jerusalem.
Of Damascus.
Once in a while I draw a blank and get mixed up.
Yeah.
And I learned about this from my friend Waleed Shubat, who was a Palestinian. He was a terrorist. He was a Muslim, and he was born in Bethlehem.
Wow.
Became a Christian.
Uh huh.
And in fact, it was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, not Damascus.
Okay, so if people wanted to do the search, they could put in the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem from World War II.
Yeah, and his name, I'll spell it, H-A-J,
good,
and then space, A-M-I-N, space, A-L, dash, H-U-S-S-E-I-N-I, Husseini.
Okay.
And he was the architect of the Holocaust for the, well, this is a little bit of a stretch, but for lack of a better term, the eastern half of the Roman Empire.
Now, why was he so interested in participating in the Holocaust? What was the reason, the political reason behind it, do you think?
Well, his reasons were different than Hitler's, except on some levels they are similar, because Islam teaches that Jews are monkeys and apes, whereas Hitler believed they were just descended from them. And Hitler believed in evolution, of course, and he was trying to help evolution along by through selective breeding, eugenics, etc., in order to create the master race. And he considered the Jews way down the totem pole, and they were needed to be exterminated. And as you know, the eugenics didn't get started in Europe. It went there. It was started in the United States, and Margaret Sanger was a chief proponent of it. And he and she believed in the extermination of the Negroid race. That's why it's she founded Planned Parenthood, and that's why it's so ironic that Barack Obama, a black, he's really half black, becomes president of the United States, a president who is one of the chief proponents and crusaders for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
But that whole idea of selective breeding and population control, eugenics, and got its toehold in the United States, in great part to her, but she wasn't the only one. And then it got picked up on in Germany, and then they used it as part of their theology, if you want to call it theology, in building the doing all this experimentation that they did, you know, the what was the brothers from Brazil, or that guy, that this whole idea.
Oh yeah. Now, that was a good movie.
And so that the Muslim position in the end times, and of course in my Islamic Jesus versus Biblical Jesus, I make it a point to make go through all of the Hadith scriptures and the Quran scriptures that describe who their version of Jesus, whom they call Isa, I-S-A, versus the biblical. And the eschatology of Islam requires the ultimate extermination of Jews, and then ultimately Christians or anyone that won't convert. I can't help but wonder what they would think and do with a Jew that actually converted and became a Muslim. I wonder if any did. It's a good question. I'll have to ask my friend.
Yeah, that would be interesting. But why? Where?
Well, for the religious reason, they believe that the Jews do not have they forfeited their right to all the blessings and the land of Palestine. Either they forfeited it.
What is the land of Palestine? Do they consider the land of Palestine current day Israel?
Yes.
Okay.
Historically was known as Palestine, thanks to the Romans.
Did that happen after Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D.? When did that happen? When did it become Palestine?
Soon after that. Yes, that's about right. I don't have the exact date, but it would be, that's about the right time. So and of course the Bible talks about Jerusalem will be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles till the fullness of the Gentiles comes in.
It actually was known historically, Israel then, after Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D., it was actually known as Palestine?
Yes.
Okay. And so who lived there, basically? Did the Jews continue to live there, or did they...
There was always a remnant of Jews that have lived there since the destruction of the temple, but most of them either fled in the ongoing diaspora, dispersion of the Jews, but it wasn't the first dispersion of the Jews. The Babylonian captivities was responsible for a lot of them being scattered. When the Apostle Paul went around preaching the gospel, the first place he would go would be to a synagogue in any city in the Roman Empire, in those synagogues were started because the Jews that had been dispersed either were taken away as slaves or they just fled and they ended up there. And that's where you ultimately ended up with the ghettos in Eastern Europe, and that were, they didn't have a problem finding who the Jews were. I have a Jewish student, guitar student, and I said, it's amazing when somebody said, well, you can't tell who a Jew is in order for them to have the land. And his response was, what should be pretty easy, just find who's circumcised.
Yeah.
That's changed now because lots of Gentiles are circumcised. But historically, though, that it was, and it was what God did to mark them and separate them from the Gentiles. So it was just not just a spiritual sign, it was a physical sign of, and they would tend to stay together where other cultures would not be as bound.
Where in the Quran does it, is it actually in the Quran that they say that Jews are monkeys?
Well, I'll see if I can get a quote for you while we're talking.
Yeah.
But in any case,
that's very interesting. So then I want to get in at, when you find that quote, then I want to get into how did the nation of Israel then come back into being? Was it the Balfour doctrine, or how then did Israel come back to the Jews?
Well, it took an actual fiat, or the ruling of the United Nations. It was the, when the Jews were fleeing from the Third Reich and the war was over, there was always this yearning for this homeland, but it just went into high gear when they were fleeing and they had no place to go, so they set up the land, part of it in Israel, and they partitioned it off, and they created Jordan, they created all these... one of the declarations was back in 1922, I think, and then, but it was effectively in 1947, as you know, or 48. I mean, I was born in 47. That in 1948, that the nation was actually established, and the United Nations voted, and they created the state. And as soon as they created it, though, war began because the Arabs and the Muslims didn't want them in the land. And part of why the Muslims don't want them, the Jews, to have the Zionist state, as they call it, the land of Israel, isn't just a religious issue. It's Islam. It's an Islam issue. Anytime Islam conquers any piece of land on the earth, then it irrevocably belongs to Islam. Even if taken over by somebody else, it rightfully belongs to them. And that's something that they don't even need a suicide bomber in order to hold that belief. That's a thing that's in their own doctrine. So they have to get that land back because it's stolen from Muslims. But they also want it back because they believe it just belongs to the Arabs.
Well, who took it?
Muhammad was.
It belonged to the Jews, and then how did it get? You know, how did they? It didn't belong to them in the first place.
Well, that land also originally belonged to the Canaanites, who were descendants of Ham's second son, Canaan. That's how we get Canaanites.
Yeah.
And they split into a whole lot of Perizzites, Jebusites, a whole bunch of ites. In fact, Jerusalem was not called Jerusalem at that time. It was called Jebu, Jebu, and that's where we get Jebusites. So they held that city that Joshua ultimately conquered. And so the land was were totally pagans and believed in Molech and all these other gods and sacrificing children, you know the story.
It sounds familiar.
But Islam, the Arabs and Muslims believe that Muhammad was descended from Ishmael. They believe the promise came through him, not through through Isaac.
So they don't believe that Abraham, that do they believe that Abraham's son was Isaac? Or they don't believe, they don't believe that Isaac and Ishmael were half brothers?
They believe all that. They believe the Jewish descendants, but they just believe that the promise really comes down through through Ishmael.
Oh,
not through any of the other Abraham's sons. But the Bible's really clear that the slave woman, the bond woman, Hagar, that the promise would not go through that line. Now,
right.
They would end up becoming 12 nations in that area, but they would not get the promised land or the promises ultimately through which the Messiah came. So you have a major problem of lineage and genealogy as to where the Messiah would come. And now, in the end, Islam believes in this Mahdi. Some believe he's actually on the earth, who's going to be the Messiah. So the whole eschatology is coming to a head. So you have a billion people basically believing in a Messiah that is not Jesus. They believe in Jesus as a prophet, and they believe he's going to have a role in the last days. But I make a comparison distinction on this Islamic Jesus versus biblical Jesus. And so even today, a couple days ago, I get the Jerusalem prayer team letter, and they were from, I don't know if you've ever heard of Michael Evans, but he has the Jerusalem prayer team newsletter.
Yeah.
I get it from other sources too, but he keeps me posted on what's going on. And I have friends that are missionaries in Israel as well.
Yeah.
But just recently, you wanted to know how does this have to do with what's going on in Egypt, Libya, and the present situation, why is it a threat to Israel, et cetera.
Yeah.
We talked about that in this non-existent program that we did last week.
you'll be very happy if you heard it, that it was non-existent, even though it was a great conversation, but nobody could hear you. They could hear me talking.
it's the conversations that we, in the heavenlies, that only two people heard.
We're back. And we're going to talk about this, and it's going to be out there for everyone to hear. Hallelujah.
Amen. But in any case, there was an interview from an Arab language newspaper. The Egyptian presidential candidate Mohammed El Baradei said that if Israel launches attack on Gaza while he's president, they would declare war on the Zionist regime.
Well, why did they want to get rid of Mubarak? Because he was a friend to Israel?
Well, Mubarak closed the border to prevent terrorists from smuggling weapons into the Gaza Strip, but if they lift that veil, they can flood those weapons in and create basically a Trojan horse or a beachhead they had a hard enough time, Israel, with all the nations surrounding them, but if they can create a beachhead within the actual land of Israel itself, they have a better chance of taking it over.
So that's why they got rid of Mubarak. And now, why do they want to? Why is it so important for them to get rid of Omar Gaddafi?
Well, that's another question. Before we get to that, I would just comment on the fact that Egypt is in the process, if they haven't already, of reforming the alliance with President Ahmadinejad in Iran.
Oh, really?
And why
wow.
that's important is it's basically going to have two sides of a vise that can crack the walnut open in Israel, being the land of Israel, being the walnut. And so there, you can see how dangerous that would be.
Very dangerous.
Now, you mentioned Gaddafi. A lot of the Muslim Brotherhood, which are a major force in Egypt, have, I don't know if you would call them stooges, or they have just representation in the eastern half of Libya. And so they basically want to put a vice around Libya so that they can basically make it become under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood, so that they can basically consolidate even a wider area of influence, plus put a siege and a stranglehold on the Suez Canal, and basically just tighten the noose around Israel.
Yeah.
And so I did get another newsletter from Michael Evans, and where he does say that Egypt's foreign minister, Nabil El Arabi, that Egypt will establish full diplomatic ties with Iran. And he says here, those ties were broken 30 years ago following the Islamic Revolution that overthrew the Shah and installed a violently anti-Israel and anti-American government in Tehran. And so all the pieces are coming together for the fulfillment of prophecy, and I think you'll find the Libya mentioned in prophecy. You find Ethiopia, for that matter, where the Jews returning from there, the diaspora is reversed, if you would. The Lord's returning what he scattered. It's like a river. He's changing. The river flowed one way, and now he's like he tipped the mountains, so the river's going the other direction, and now the Jews are all coming back from all over the world.
What do you see happening as far as the future? Will Israel launch their rockets? Will Israel be destroyed?
Oh, I have a hard time believing that there'd be an all-out nuclear exchange between Israel and any of the Islamic nations, and here's my reasoning. Most of the description in the Bible is a conventional invasion, and there'd be nothing to invade if it is nothing but a radioactive blacktop. Tar on the is what Israel, the land, has become. So there wouldn't be a reason to invade it. It would just be completely radioactive, and no one would want to live there or be
yeah.
there. I think that there's a reasonable chance that Israel, if they feel threatened, because they really have the Samson option, that it isn't as though they can take a blow and they can keep going. If they take a blow, it's over for them. So if they sense anything's coming their way, they've got something like 80 nuclear weapons they can use to preempt. It's more difficult to preempt, though, Susan, because the Iran hides a lot of their development of nuclear technology for weapons right in population centers.
Yeah.
So if Israel were to strike it, that it'd be a public relations nightmare, because they'd show all these pictures of how Israel sent in missiles to destroy hospitals and women and children.
Yeah.
The other place they hide them is under mountains, which are very hard to penetrate. We have some capabilities to penetrate mountains to take out facilities, but so they it's getting more difficult to do. But as to why, I don't think. And then, of course, you have this 200 man million army coming from the east.
Does it come from China?
Well, it wouldn't be just China. It could include a bunch of Islamic. The border countries in the southern part of Russia, the former Soviet Union, and if you include Pakistan and nations that weren't in the Soviet Union, you've got a kind of a belt there, if you would, of Islamic high population density of Muslims.
The reason you stated was that Islam has to take that land back because once it's an Arab land, it's always an Arab land. That's the important thing to them, is to take it back.
Well, how does China, a Muslim land. It turns out they are Arabs also, at least in that part of the area, but the world. But if you're in India or Pakistan or the Philippines, there's a lot of Muslim nations, for that matter. Iran is not an Arab nation. So, but the theology of Islam, whether you're Arab or not, is to they have to get that land back.
Yeah. So how does China, how does that all fit in then with the Antichrist, where they all get involved, they form a union with the Arab countries to go and help them take Israel?
Yeah, in fact, if you look at one of the Psalms that has lists 10 nations that surround Israel, and that God's going to judge all these 10 nations, for a long, long time, we automatically assumed all those 10 nations are the 10 nations of Europe, that, you know, the European Union and things.
Yeah.
But a lot of scholars are rethinking that. They said, well, it could still be the part of the Roman Empire, but it would be the eastern leg of the Roman Empire. Remember in the Nebuchadnezzar's that dream and everything? In the book of Daniel, you've got two legs. You don't have just one leg. One leg is the eastern and one is the western. And as we know, Rome was the western Roman Empire, and Constantinople was the eastern Roman Empire, which is Turkey. And now Turkey is almost completely Muslim, and Turkey had all the seven churches of Revelation.
Yeah.
And so if you go and look on the map, you'll see the 10 nations that surround Israel, and they're all Muslims.
Yeah.
So you already have in place the geography, you've got the nations, you've got the religion that's needed, you've got everything you need in order to swallow up Israel and that surround Israel to take it out. Now, I think there might be some weapons that are sent out preemptively. Maybe Israel might send one to Iran or more than one. But I don't think, from a strategic standpoint, that it's there might be some small weapons set off in Israel, but as a whole, I think it's conventional invasion in the final analysis, and the Lord turns back those armies. And there's another reason I don't think I think the Lord has an umbrella over Israel, because I don't think he would let a nuclear weapon completely turn the land of Israel into blacktop.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to descend on the Mount of Olives. Hard to imagine him descending on a non-existing Mount of Olives, because it's been...
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of issues that... but I don't want to put God to a foolish test. There might be some mechanism or some scriptural way that it could still happen, that nuclear weapons would be sent to Israel. But I think the I don't think the Bible supports that model.
Yeah.
I don't want to be too dogmatic because I want a good military planner just sees different kinds of options. But we have been promoting the West of how Islam is a peaceful religion.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah, you were going to find that quote about...
Oh, the monkeys. Well, hang on a second.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the picture right now of November 28th, 1941, Berlin, Germany, of the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem in his conversation with Adolf Hitler. And that slide will be available in our presentation, by the way.
Okay.
Well, but it's well known. You can go into Google, search it, and you'll see the picture. You just won't believe it.
Yeah, I didn't. I never heard that before until you said it. I never heard that. So I found that very, very interesting because I know we know the Catholic Church was in on the Holocaust. They had many of their own Holocausts throughout history. And so...
I'm reading the exact game plan that they worked they worked together in order to carry out this Holocaust. He, the Führer, would carry on the battle to the total destruction of the Judaist communist empire in Europe, too, at some moment, which was impossible to set exact date by which any event was not distant. The German armies would, in the course of the struggle, reach the southern exit of Caucasia. As soon as this happened, the Führer would give his own give the Arab world the assurance that its hour of liberation had arrived. Anyway, there's a lot of detail on that. But while you are saying something, let me see if I can find this quote for you, Susan.
I think it's very interesting that at the time of World War II, when you had someone as evil and wicked as a Hitler, how many people probably actually thought he was the Antichrist, and it was only a foreshadowing of things to come. What the man that's coming is going to be a million times worse than Hitler ever was. So we have to be ready, and we're doing this program today to keep you informed about history, about what's in the future, what the Bible is, the book that predicts the future. God knows the future, and the only way of escape is to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you won't be deceived in the end times and follow this very charismatic leader. When you look at old films, anybody can see some of the World War II movies, and even on the History Channel, they do quite a few programs about Adolf Hitler. And you can see how it was a mass hypnosis of people. He wasn't really a pleasant-looking person. He wasn't what I would call handsome or attractive. I don't even think he had charisma. It was some kind of a demonic charisma because he had sold himself out to the devil. But how people were hypnotized by this man. They stood and in rallies and lifted their hands in unison, and they did this marching, which when you look at the marching and the thousands of people that marched in unison and in perfect order, it's quite stunning, really. So we can
see a template with Hitler. It's not a preview of the end times. And it's not a surprise about the devil has been wanting to take out the Jews for a long, long time. If you
for
go
a
back
long, long time.
Egypt, the pharaohs, you know, wiping out the...
Yeah. Now, the reason I believe that the devil tries to take out the Jews because of Jesus Christ being born of a Jewish mother.
Right. They were trying to kill him before Jesus was on the earth, but of course, Jesus Christ is everlasting.
Yeah.
But You can't get the Jews, he'll get, if you can't get Christ himself, he'll get his followers or anybody that's Jewish.
Yeah. Of course, they didn't succeed then, and they'll never succeed in destroying the nation of Israel.
You have the book of Esther. Well, you know what that's about, is the Esther saving her. She was Jewish. And her appeal to the king was to save a people.
Right.
From annihilation. So the idea of making the Jews the scapegoats throughout history goes back before Jesus Christ was on the earth, and it continues to this day. It's not even news.
Yeah.
Well,
it's God's news, and God's news is contained in the Bible. The Bible is a wonderful history book, as well as a supernatural book that can change your life. And the Bible talks about the washing of the water of the Word, how it washes you and cleanses you and renews your mind, and you can get rid of your old thinking and have a new way of thinking. It's like that song, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see, and that is really the truth, because I remember the day the blinders came off, and I could see, and the Bible was no longer a foolish book. To me, it was a beautiful book that ministered to me and gave me life. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So anyone that's out there, don't have to be afraid of the things that are coming on the earth. And you can have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can have peace and joy that no matter what happens, God loves you and he can get you through it. So we see the constant problems with Islam. We see the constant problems in the state of Israel, little country, and all the fighting, and everything seems to be centered around Israel. But Israel will not be destroyed. God will not let that happen. And
there's, you see protection in different examples. Sometimes there's you have the protection of the ark of Noah's family. He destroyed the rest of the planet. You have the Jews being protected in Egypt, even though it took a miracle in order to make sure that the Jews didn't also get killed in the process. It was divinely, the boundaries of Egypt and the plagues it's hard to have it like some kind of a storm that goes only right to the edge of a county or a city, but God was really precise with his boundaries. He will sometimes take us through a storm or a judgment, but not, he will not remove us from it. In the case of Lot, of course, he did remove them from the city. He didn't just protect them while he brought fire and brimstone down on the city. So it all depends. Both are correct. But I got one
now,
of James, the...
Were you able to find that? Is it actually in the Quran about the Jews?
That I still have to check. I did find that in the traditions, which is the Hadith.
Okay. In the
traditions. No, here I got off of... footnote.
Well, if we can't get to it today, we can do it another time. But I did want the listeners to be able to document that fact about what actually Islam teaches about the Jews. So we need to know that.
Sometimes I'll hear on the news, and it was on just a few days ago, that a Muslim scholar was saying that it's nowhere found. And so if someone trots it out and reads it to them, they said, well, it's there, but that was certain traditions are declared invalid, and so they just decide when they need to have it be valid and when they don't want it invalid. But I'm reading here that battle with the Jews will surely come. The decisive Muslim victory is coming about without a doubt, and a prophet spoken about in more than one hadith, and the day of resurrection will not come without a victory over the believers, the Muslims, over the descendants of the monkeys and pigs, in parentheses, the Jews, and with their annihilation. And that,
wow,
I'm speaking from the Palestinian Media Watch studies on Palestinian culture and Itamar Marcus. So that'd be from one of the hadith. But there's plenty in the Quran that talk about just the destruction of the Jews. So that's not a secret, even.
Yeah. So anybody can probably, if they wanted to, get a copy of the Quran on the internet and study it.
Do their own search.
Sure, do your own search. I mean, it's amazing to me that Christians won't even do their own search on Bible topics because they're fed so much propaganda, and they don't do the searches themselves to find out as good Bereans. So,
You started your radio show with the perfect scripture that really describes our discussion of Islamic Jesus versus biblical Jesus, because along with the many antichrists, the Apostle John was very, very precise in his own definition that the Muslim religion says that God cannot have a son.
Yeah.
And so when we bring out these scriptures that show that God has a son, they say that the Bible has been corrupted, and it doesn't say that. But the fact is that Muhammad believed that the Bible was true in 628. Otherwise, he would have called it a false religion.
Yeah.
And so all we need to do is get, what Bibles were around at the time Muhammad was here? And then we can just compare with that. But you won't be able to get them to come bring forth any of these true translations, so we can all get straightened out. James sarcastically. But anyway, John himself, we start right out with John 3:16. It should be the most famous scripture that any Christian should know that doesn't know the Bible at all, probably knows John 3:16. So anybody wants to bring out that Islam is a religion of peace and that it's an acceptable religion, they bring out John 3:16. John, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. So John, the apostle, says God has a son. But then it gets better. John is also the one who gives us in one of his epistles, he defines the Antichrist more precisely. Again, anyone that says that Jesus Christ, that God does not have a son, is an Antichrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you have it.
Right.
QED, as they say in math.
Yeah.
Thus it has been proved.
Right.
So it's a pretty major issue a pretty important distinction that Islamic Jesus and the biblical Jesus are not the same Jesus.
Right.
And I went through in this description. It's posted.
It's posted. Would you tell our listeners then where to go to your website to view
the... Yes, I will. It is posted. Well, our website is perfectpeaceplan.com, perfectpeaceplan.com, and then click articles. Or just search on Google Islamic Jesus versus Biblical Jesus. You can put my name in there if you want, James Sundquist, and it will pop up both in the articles as well as in the media section of our website. You'll see it there that you can click and watch the whole thing. You'll see the slide of Adolf Hitler with the Grand Mufti.
Yeah, very interesting.
And so you should be... don't want to frighten anybody, but it's a good wake-up call.
Oh, yeah, it's a good wake-up call. I mean, people need to know the truth.
And I did. I preached a sermon. Well, it was a very short sermon because three of us preached. But on Christmas Eve, I did a sermon, and I was comparing the Gabriel, the biblical Gabriel, versus the Islamic Gabriel.
Yeah.
And the Islamic Gabriel didn't. He gave all of the Quran in their version. And so I spoke about how it's a different Gabriel.
Yeah, a different Gabriel. Oh, dear. Well, we want to encourage you to go to James' website, perfectpeaceplan.com. And
okay.
There's also some, I've got a few, two short videos up on my YouTube channel, and I know there's some YouTube videos that James has done or he's speaking on YouTube. So if you put his name in, James Sundquist, Sundquist, you will be able to get more information about his ministry. And I think that this show today was very, turned out great, James, very, very informative.
Well,
and
before
lots
we,
of meat.
Thank you, but before we leave, I do have a couple quotes from the Quran. And I got this, I think Waleed might have been responsible, but there are other sources for it. I'm quoting Surah 7:166. That is the Quran, of course. When
okay.
in their influence they transgressed all prohibitions, we said unto them, be ye apes, despised and rejected. Surah 5:60. Those who incurred the curse of Allah and his wrath, those of whom he transformed into apes and swine, those who worshipped evil, these are many times worse in rank and far more astray than even path. One more, Surah 2:65. And well ye knew those amongst you who transgressed in the matter of the Sabbath. And of course, who would be complying with the Sabbath? Anybody, nobody else except the Jews in this case.
Yeah.
We said unto them, be ye apes, despised and rejected. Again, Surah 2:65. So it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that how Hitler and the Grand Mufti said, you know, we believe the same thing about these guys, the Jews.
Yeah.
So let's get together and boogie.
Yeah.
And we'll just fulfill the final solution.
Yes.
And to this day, the Muslim final solution, it shouldn't be a secret, that it's not a religion of peace, but it's a religion of final solution.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kindly
it's not a religion.
It's not my having a bad day or I'm bitter. It's their own stated documents.
Yes, it's their own stated documents. Well, it's a very similar it's for another program, but it's a very similar doctrine to the Catholic Church. Growing up Catholic, we believe that everybody had to be converted back to the one true church. So you spend your life trying to bring people back to Catholicism. And so at one time they murdered people, which they might still do, but they murdered millions of people that didn't join their church. Well, it's hardly a Christian church. Christians don't kill people because they don't join up. It has nothing at all to do with Christianity, but you can see how similar these two religions are and what great lengths they'll go to make converts. So, but it has nothing to do with Christianity because we don't hurt people. Followers of Jesus don't hurt people. That's not what we try
to
do.
No doubt millions have been killed in the name of Christianity, from the Crusades to...
Yeah.
On.
But it had nothing to do with real Christianity, not real Christians. So people
Islam,
call themselves Christians, but we see that
today. You can document in their own eschatology, their own test, require that it's a jihad to kill people, to convert them,
yeah.
Or if they don't convert, they kill them. To the end, that doesn't mean all Muslims out there are going around killing people. It's just that their religion requires that.
Yeah, their religion requires it. Yeah.
in the consummation.
And some
of
them maybe don't even know that their religion requires it. It's like a lot of Catholic people don't realize what their religion requires.
Right.
But, so they might be ignorant of the fact, but it's still in their documents. And you know, thank God for history, because you can see documents, you can study history, and you can find out what's happened, so that history doesn't repeat itself. And you know, people can wake up and see what's going to happen. But anyway, James, I want to thank you again for this very interesting and enlightening program, and I know it'll be a great blessing to many people. So
I'm happy to be a servant.
Yeah,
to you,
thank you for coming back on. And this,
I'll be dying to know if this actually ever appears anywhere. People heard it now, right?
Yeah, they definitely heard it. It was live. It was live today, and then it'll be up on Blog Talk Radio for them to archive, for them to go back and listen. I'll play it again on Monday night on the Prophecy Zone, and you know,
well,
try to get a YouTube.
We talked about
get
prophecy,
it up on YouTube.
This was also about prophecy today, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely about prophecy. So I think that's
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Get ready to come into the zone for the next 60 minutes.
Your journey will begin in 3, 2, 1.
The Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Your watchman on the wall.
Bringing you into the knowledge only found as you pursue the truth.
So sit back and enter the zone of Bible prophecy and find the hope that every Christian should have.
Find out what is going to happen in the year 2012 and beyond. The Middle East, the mark of the beast, the European superstate, Russia, China, Syria, and more. So sit back and grab your cup of coffee and your Bible,
and be prepared to enter the zone.
The Prophecy Zone.
Hello, welcome to the Prophecy Zone.